Welcome to Computing Lives. This podcast is the final and fourth installment to a four-part series on Douglas Engelbart. This one is called On the ARPANET. In 1969, ARC, the Augmentation Research Center, became the second site connected to the ARPANET system, the beginning of today's internet. Joining the ARPANET achieved a sub-goal of Engelbart's NLS project to support active collaboration among groups of workers. In the spirit of collaboration, Engelbart and his team volunteered to develop and operate the Network Information Center for the original ARPANET research community. Sharing information among many computers in different locations was not a new idea to the ARC team. They had been working on a smaller, localized network for years. With the creation of the ARPANET, Engelbart's NLS system now became accessible to ARC researchers working across geographical distances. And also, it became accessible to other researchers outside of the ARC project. From Engelbart's perspective, the most important feature of networking was the bringing together of human resources, knowledge, skill, creativity, intelligence, drive. In the early 1970s, he envisioned a future in which collaborative human communication was built on a foundation of computer networks. The ARPANET technology made it possible for outside research groups to connect to a computer network and use the NLS system with the bootstrapping methodology. In the early 1970s, the wider ARPA-funded community of computer researchers was beginning to join the bootstrapping process. That is, a process of using software to bring the ARPA software and the software that ran on ARPA computers across the network to new kinds and architectures of computers. Ironically, just when Engelbart decided that team augmentation or workgroup computing would be their goal, his own team began to experience growing pressures from this bootstrapping process. These pressures were both technological, psychological, and also, to some extent, social. The technological pressures Engelbart's teams experienced came from the building of a computer system that tried to keep pace with the latest hardware and software advances. Consequently, the system changed every 6 to 8 months and had to be constantly upgraded or redesigned. The social pressures were the result of people on a regular basis having to learn new roles, change old attitudes, and adopt different methods of working together with the new technology. Thus, the augmentation project became very difficult for the development team, who, in addition to developing the technology, were also the experimental subjects for the bootstrapping process. Psychologists and sociologists were brought in to serve as observers and facilitators, and they became as important to the team as the hardware and software designers. The psychologists observed, first, that people are resistant to change in the workplace. Second, people who initially opposed learning a system become equally unwilling to give it up after they have learned it. Initial resistance to technological change is partially grounded in a general fear of the unknown. This resistance to change is an essential part of introducing new technologies into established organizational settings. The psychological and organizational tensions created by resistance to change were apparent in Engelbart's team. Team members were required to observe themselves in order to create methodologies and procedures that advanced with the developing computer technologies. As a result of these pressures, a number of the team members left ARC to work at Xerox PARC. Although members of Engelbart's teams moved on to other research projects, NLS continued to be developed. It developed at SRI over a 13-year span and then was sold when the ARPA funding ended. At the point when the ARPA funding stopped, Engelbart had more or less invented half the concepts of modern computing. Without funding, the staff went from a high of approximately 35 people down to a dozen, and finally Engelbart was left alone with his software. In 1978, the commercial rights to the NLS system, then renamed Augment, were transferred to the Timeshare Corporation, which was owned by McDonnell Douglas. And the system continued to be developed for another 12 years in a commercial form. At Timeshare, solid enhancements were made to the conference subsystem, the mail system, the journal system. Augment was then marketed as an integrated office automation system and was used by the U.S. Air Force. However, the Augment software ran only on big computers, and business waned when personal computers proliferated in the 1980s. In 1988, Engelbart recalled, "While it was exciting to see bits and pieces of the original NLS appear commercially over the years, many of the system's conceptual core ideas have only recently been recognized. Online editors for easy manipulation of ideas, hypertextual linking capabilities fully integrated into the system, a system of recorded dialogue that transcends most mail systems, user programmability and customizability of the system, and most important, tools for augmenting not just individual knowledge workers, but also teams of people, both co-resident and distributed over the world, interacting through a networked environment." Engelbart-originated ideas have played a major role in the development of the computer industry, but Engelbart is not rich nor famous, despite the fact that he originally developed many of the concepts and techniques embedded in personal computers and the World Wide Web. Today, Engelbart's vision of using computers to enable people to better handle complexity and urgency continues to evolve. Currently, he's expanded his original conceptual framework and is exploring how to create high-performance human organizations through the use of computer tools such as groupware. Engelbart states, "My own vision about pursuing high-performance organizations has matured over the years into quite a comprehensive, multifaceted strategic framework. It may seem a bit radical in nature, but my continuing hope is that it will be merged into such a shared community vision." Presently, Engelbart is the head of the Bootstrap Institute, which he founded in 1989 and runs with his daughter, Christina. He divides his time among research and development, writing publications, consulting, public speaking, and leading seminars. Information describing Engelbart's current concepts about computing and the Bootstrap Institute can be found at his website, www.bootstrap.org. You've been listening to Computing Lives. This podcast is the fourth installment of a four-part podcast about Douglas Engelbart. It's based on an essay that was written by Susan Barnes and that appeared in Volume 19, Number 3 issue of the Annals. More about the Annals of the History of Computing, as well as other publications of the Computer Society, can be found at www.computer.org. To find the Annals, click on the Publications tab and go to Technical Magazines. Other Computer Society podcasts, including all four podcasts in this series, can be found at www.computer.org/podcasts. If you have any comments, you can send them to podcasts@computer.org. The music for this podcast came from the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. You can find it at music.podshow.com. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.